13 this morning. Exodus chapter number 13. I'll say thank you for coming. It's good to see the Lord's house getting closer and closer to being full. And the sanctuary is not too off on you. It's getting going on 4 or 5 years now old. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we hadn't knocked some walls out already? Add chairs and put these pews closer together. So is that possible? It absolutely is. If everybody brought one person, just think about how big of an impact that would be. We would run out of seating, and that would be a great problem to have. We'd run out of parking. That would be a great problem to have. So let me challenge you before we start this morning. Do your dead level best to invite somebody to church. How many of you love your church this morning? Amen. If you love it, you should want to share it with somebody. And as much as I love the church, the church is really, it's my life. I thank God for the church. But we would have no church. It would just be any other place, another building, another gathering place. But it's Christ who makes the church. Without Christ, we would have no church. And Jesus said that he loved the church so much that he gave himself for it. And if he loved the church so much he was willing to give himself for it, we should love the church and give ourselves to it. Amen. And he's also he didn't just give himself for it, he's coming back for it. And I don't know if you've been watching the news lately, but boy, this world is rocking off of its axis. We're literally seeing the Word of God come. The prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And so there's no time to waste. There's no time to wait. It's past time to put off and say, I'm going to get my heart right. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get faithful. If there was ever a time that you were going to sell out to God and get serious with God, it's the day and hour we're living. My cousin Sharon, she's sitting right down here on the third row, and she posted something yesterday. I've been seeing everybody posting something about Afghanistan, about all the people and all the tragic horrors that those poor people are having to live through. The barbaric, wicked, demon-possessed people that are killing babies and taking 10, 11-year-old girls, and just the wickedness that's going on over there. However, there are Christians, there are preachers, and churches in Afghanistan this morning who are having to hide underground, and but yet rather than hushing their mouth and saying, well, we will stop serving and we will stop worshiping and speaking in the name of Jesus, they are being bold in their faith in the midst of facing imminent death. Their faith is so real that they're still willing to say and sing and proclaim the name of Jesus and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Sharon wrote something to the effect of how the Lord had convicted her heart, how that if they can do that under those circumstances, in that environment over there, how in the world are we so nonchalant and so lethargic and so lazy and so fleshly and worldly and carnal that we have freedom to worship, freedom to say the name Jesus and sing of Him and preach about Him, witness of Him. And oh, how little we do that. There is no excuse. The Bible says where much is given, much is required. And God has given America so very much. And I'm not talking about, He's given us a lot in freedom and materialism and financially, the greatest country in the world. But just think about if all the money and materialistic things were removed and all we had left was our liberty and our freedom to worship the God we love, we would still be one of the richest, if not the richest, nations in the world. And oh, how we've taken that for granted. And please understand this morning, didn't come to preach on this, but please understand this morning, I say this as humbly as I know how, but as honestly as I can, what happened in Afghanistan happened in 11 days. In less than 2 weeks from now, it could happen in America. You say, oh, you crazy. There ain't no way. Our country would never, never fall that low. Our country would never be taken over. They never dreamed. They had trillions of dollars over the last 20 years. Trillions of dollars. The best military equipment, the best military training, over 300,000 soldiers. They had everything that America has. They were given and had, and they folded like cheap suits in a matter of moments. And if you don't think that it could happen here, I'm sorry to tell you, you don't know your Bible. Something is going to happen to America. We are not going to be a global power when the Lord comes. And the Lord's coming. Sooner than later, He's coming. And already, our country, America, the land that I love, is coming unraveled at the seams. Morally, our country is bankrupt. And financially, I mean, the money our country has spent and went in debt this year alone, we will never recover from it. I mean, our country financially is built like a deck of cards, and it will come tumbling down in a moment. And so please don't take for granted that what we have will always be. And you say, well, when it gets rough, I'll stand up and I'll serve God. And I'll be found faithful. I tell you this in love. If you won't serve Jesus in America as good as we have it, you will never serve Him. It's as easy as it will ever be to serve Him. And we have no excuse. That did not cost you one red cent. That was free of charge. Exodus chapter 13. Let's stand together. We'll reverence the reading of God's Word. The devil did not want this message preached this morning. I guess when I got here, I got my message on my iPad. And it automatically backs up and is on my phone. And when I got to church this morning, it was at 95%. And mysteriously, and my phone was 100%, and mysteriously, but from 9 o'clock till now, my iPad dropped down to 9%, 8%. It's dropping fast. And as I said, I'll just get my phone. And it was down to about 6%. So I'm either going to have to preach super fast, I just sent an email. Hopefully Jenny can get it to print off if it'll work. But anyway, Exodus chapter 13, and let's start reading in verse number 21. We'll read two verses this morning. If you're there, say amen. And they took their journey from Succoth. Oh, excuse me, that's verse 20. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them away, the way, to lead them the way. Well, look at there. Now I can breathe. See, I couldn't even read. Got back up. Let's start over. Verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Verse 22. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. You all know the story that we're reading and dealing with. And this is where Egypt, the Israelites had just come out of Egypt. And God had just used Moses to go before Pharaoh and tell them, set my people free. By the way, y'all thought, some of y'all, I seen some of y'all praying, let that phone die fast. We'll get out of here in a hurry. Ta-da. Thank God for printers. No, I'm just a kid. I'm not going to keep you too long, sincerely. But the children of Israel have come out of Egypt, stepped into a place that they are not familiar with, never been there before. They were used to waking up in the morning, being told what to do, where to go, what to work on, when to eat. They were slaves in a land of bondage, and that God had set them free. You all know the account very well. They're not acquainted with the way to get where they're going. They've never had to pull out a map or punch in a GPS or figure out how to get from point A to B. They were always told, and they simply followed. That's been the lifestyle of most of these people. So direction was not a thing that they had to be concerned with. But now that they've been set free, now that they are out of bondage, now that they are out from under the thumb of the Pharaoh and out of the land of Egypt, now they're faced with something brand new to all of them, and that is this issue of direction and where and where to go, which way to go, and how do they know how to get from here to where they're going. And so God in His love and kindness places a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And as the sun goes down, God replaced the cloud with a pillar of fire. So not one moment, whether it be in the morning or midday or in the evening, they always, above them and ahead of them, they had a supernatural, heaven sent from the sovereign God of heaven, an absolute, unmistakable a cloud to follow. A cloud of certainty. And then when the sun would go down, there would appear automatically the pillar of fire. So they always had God leading them in the direction that they would need to go. As I was studying and preparing for this, I thought to myself, there's been times in my life that I wish God would physically put a cloud in the day to show me which way I should go, to have it ahead of me and above me so I would know that I'm headed the right way, or by night put a pillar of fire. But God, through this period of time, God knew they were new to it. They had no idea of direction, no sense of direction. So God is a loving God. Ain't you glad? God cares that we know and that we can follow Him, and He'll see to it that He places things in our life where we can follow Him and end up at the destination He wants us to be. You say, well, why do we not have a cloud now? Why do we not have that cloud of certainty in our life? Why did God do away with that? Can I say this morning, God gave us something way better. I would say that cloud didn't speak. That pillar of fire didn't talk. It simply was there in existence. It was simply there in picture, and they could follow it. But God give us something that would tell us and speak to us and lead us and guide us, that being the Word of God. Not only the Word of God, but He said, I won't leave you comfortless. He said, Jesus said, when I go, I will send the Comforter to you, and He will guide you into all truth. And you'll never, not one minute of your life, will you have that uneasy feeling of not knowing where to go. God promised He would never leave you nor forsake you, and He would guide you all the days of your life. So, I want to look at two things this morning quickly, preaching on the subject, a cloud of certainty. A cloud of certainty and a cloud of emotion. Many times in my life, most of the time, if not every time, I've ever gotten in trouble in direction and went the wrong way. When I should have went this way and I went that way, was because rather than seeing the and looking to and depending on the cloud of certainty that God has provided me, being His Word and the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in me, I have given in to that cloud of emotion that's within me. That thing that pulls me and says, go this way, you want this. And yes, God's got a cloud of certainty and that's wanting to lead you this way, but that cloud of emotion, that cloud of confusion on the inside of you wants you to go that way, and it never ends up right. But if you don't get anything this morning, know this. If you end up in the wrong place, it ain't God's fault. You'll never be able to point a finger, neither will I, and say, how did I get here? God, how did you let me get so far off course? Why didn't you show me? He did. Now, we as men, Brother Jackie's already alluded to my great NASCAR skills driving this morning. And he also made Jenny mad because he told everybody all the dents and dings she's put in my truck. but how many of you men, I better refer, how many of you wives could stand up and testify this morning to the fact that you've been on a trip somewhere and y'all have been headed to the mountains or to the beach or somewhere maybe you ain't never been, and you get out in the middle of Timbuktu and don't know where you're at, and the wife looks to the husband and says, I think we need to pull over and ask for directions. Only for the husband to say, and always say, and I don't know if we believe it or not, but we'll say, oh, I know where I'm at. I know where we're going. I don't need to ask anybody for directions. I know exactly where I'm going. Only for her to say, well, we done passed that store about eight times. We're just going round and round in a circle. Me and Steve went and walked some land the other day. We're going to hunt this year. Praise God. Somebody say amen right there. And we was talking, and I asked him if he had ever got lost in the woods before, and we got talking about that. I mean, it's easy to get lost, whether you're in the car or in the woods or whatever, but how foolish is it in 2021 to have a phone in your pocket and all you got to do is say Google or hit the button and say here's the address, and it will lead you step by step, turn by turn, road by road. It'll even tell you how long it takes to get there. It'll even calculate and adjust for traffic jam. How foolish would it be to get lost and have that in your possession and be too arrogant and prideful to simply ask and look when the directions are right there. Say, what does this got to do with anything? I'm saying sometimes we're so prideful and depend on our own ingenuity and our own intuition and our own cloud of emotion, what we just feel is right, that can lead us so wrong when God has clearly given us something that's better than Google, something that's better than any map you could pull up. And so I want to say a few things very quickly concerning these two clouds. Those clouds were given for direction. The Bible says in, I believe it's verse 21, to lead them in the way. That's what the cloud was there for. That's what it was given for, to lead them and to guide them in direction. And God gave them this cloud to follow. The children of Israel came out of Egypt with no compass, no GPS, no map. They only had two things, and they had to make a choice based off of those two things. Number one, they had the cloud of clarity above and beyond them. Number two, they had the cloud of emotion boiling within them. And can't you imagine the emotion that they must have felt? They're finally free. They're finally out of bondage. They're finally outside the realm of those taskmasters, and they can do whatever they please. They can go any direction they want to. They're free. And oh, what a feeling it is to be free. Do you remember getting saved? Which, that's what getting out of Egypt is. It's a picture of getting saved. And you're free. I mean, you've been set free like a bird out of prison. I mean, set free. And it's like you have a brand new, it ain't like you do have a brand new slate in life. You have a brand new a road to walk, and you don't have to go back to the old bar rooms, and you don't have to go back to the old friends. You can go anywhere you want. You can be anything you want. You can do anything you want. God's give you a brand new start, and you're free. That's how these people were. That's how they felt. And do you remember the emotion that welled up inside of you when God saved you, and you are no longer under the captivity and the bondage of Satan? No longer did he have his chains wrapped around you, but God had broke the chains and you were free to go. Oh, that brings emotion. And listen, please, please understand, I'm not against emotion. You shouldn't be against emotion. God's the creator of emotions. Emotions are good. How else would I know when my wife's mad? Thank God for those telltale signs of emotion. Or when somebody's happy and you see their face light up. But emotion is not something you can use to guide you through life. Because you can be up one minute and down the next. Your emotions can pull you this way. How many of you have ever seen one of the commercials on TV? Somebody turn that clock. This is going to have to turn into a two-part message. I'll be back tonight. How about y'all? Listen. How many of you ever seen one of those commercials on TV? They used to run them all the time. That you would see a little child in Africa or Ethiopia and you could count their ribs, see the bones in their skull and their belly protruded out. Just, oh, how it pulled on your heartstrings and make you want to give and feed them babies. And they say only for $1 a day you can make sure this baby and 10 other like it can get a meal a day. Well, that's something pulls on your emotions and makes you want to give, don't it? But you know, it's been studied, and I'm not against giving to help feed the hungry, But you know, there's so many of those people out there that you send those money, and these people living in penthouses and making $300,000 or $400,000 salaries before those little babies ever get a piece of food of that money you send. What about a panhandler? What about these people on the side of the road? And I'm not saying don't help them ever. I'm saying you ought to be led by the cloud of clarity. You ought to let the Holy Ghost of God nudge your heart and tell you when to do that and when not to do that, because they're professional panhandlers out there, and they look the part, and they have the signs, and they'll say, I'm a veteran, and I'll work for food, and I'm starving, and this and that and the other. And I've stopped and talked to many of them and know some of them personally, because I've talked to them so many times. And Brother Ned, I had one man tell me he made around $2,000 to $3,000 a week doing that. I said, man, why don't you get a job? I said, come on, I'll come. You said, your sign says you'll work for food. Come on, I'll work you and give you food. Oh, no, 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 no. He started backpedaling in a hurry. I said, but that's what your sign says. I said, that's false advertisement. You said you'd work. And you know what the truth is? We'll ride by some of them people, and it's easy to get hard to the fact and let your emotions go one a little bit too far the other way and say, I ain't helping none of them blessed idiots. They ought to get out and work. Some of them are legitimate. Right now, listen, right now, I ain't going to call no names, but right now, Impactlet. I seen a boy just the other day, about 20 years old, long hair, bushy beard, and stunk. And he was walking down Impactlet, right from across Hardy's, and he was walking down behind. I started to say Community Cash, but that's way back. Piggly Wiggly, what's it called now? Dollar Store, Dollar General. And I seen him heading down through there, and I thought, somebody said, do you know who that boy is? I said, no. I said, but he ought to get him a job. He said, and they got to tell me his story. But my first attitude about him was, he's a young man. He looks healthy. He's just a lazy person, probably on dope, but needs to get a job, needs to straighten his life out. That was my first reaction. Don't judge me. You probably thought the same about some of them yourself. And my heart got broke. The person went on to tell me that his parents had got on dope and basically lost their home, and that this boy was left out high and dry, really homeless, and that he will work if anybody will let him work. But if you don't know this, people who are homeless, the longer you're homeless, the harder it is to get a job, because you lose all your possessions. You can't take a bath, you can't shower. And so this boy is laying and living in the woods over behind the grocery store. And he'll wash your car. He'll do anything he can. And I wouldn't give him some money. I said, hey, are you hungry? He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I give him enough money to eat, and I watched him. And sure enough, he went straight and got food, and he crammed that food in his mouth like he ain't eaten a month. My point is, you can get in a ditch on both sides, emotionally speaking. That's why it's so important to let the cloud of clarity, the cloud that God give us, the Holy Spirit of God, who will guide you, to let you know who to help and when to help. And you know what the best way to do, the most safe way to do, and the most scriptural thing to do to help people is give through your local church. God set up parameters and safeguards. That way there's accountability, and God, you give. I rarely preach on giving, but the best way to do is not rob God and give your tithe and offering. By the way, if all you do is giving 10%, I ain't come to preach on tithing this morning, but I'll help you. You ain't give nothing. I've seen people literally, if they make 100, I ain't going to get exact because I'll mess the math up, but they'll give like $12.60. That'd be their tithe. I'm like, who would get that specific? if it was 12, I'd get either give 12 or 13, but they get it down to the nitty gritty. I mean, they're going to give their 10% and that's it. And a lot of people don't know, but you know what the Bible says? The tithe is the Lord's. It ain't yours to begin with. So if you make 1,000, 100 of that ain't yours to start with. So if all you do is give that, you ain't give nothing. What you give above 10% is an offering. That's giving. Amen. So the safest and best way is to give through the church, through your local church, and the missions. But these people had no sense of direction. So God supernaturally gave them this cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night. Now, in life, you'll find, and I'm speaking about direction, don't you care where you end up? It matters. And the devil knows that, and he will play on your emotion and mine, and he will play on your heart strings, just like professional panhandlers and just like drug addicts who's needing money. They'll say and do and push and pull and do anything they can, and you'll feel sorry. My point is, God set up clear directions and give us clear signs and ways so that we didn't have to just wish and hope our way through life and hope we land where we need to. Ultimately, there is a destination called heaven and there's a destination called hell. Now, had the children of Israel got out of Egypt, been delivered as they was, crossed the Red Sea, watched God destroy Pharaoh and his armies, and they made it out and they were free and had a brand new life to live, and God even supplied a supernatural cloud to appear ahead of them and beyond them for them to follow. What a tragic mistake it would have been had they simply seen that and turned and said, no, I believe we'll go our own way. Wouldn't that be terrible? Don't judge them too bad, because God's given us a cloud of clarity. And how often do we fail to look into it and see where He wants us to go, and to see how He wants us to go and how He wants us to live? God give us a clear cloud of clarity of how to get from here to heaven. It's so simple. Hey, listen, it's so simple. A child can understand how to get from here to heaven. All you got to do is agree with God. You are a sinner in need of a Savior. Repent of your sin. Trust Christ as your Savior. Believe He died on the cross and rose from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. That's pretty simple. One scholar said it this way. He said it's shallow enough for a child to swim in, yet deep enough for an elephant to drown in. And boy, that's true. God give clear direction of how to get from here to heaven. And the devil's doing everything he can to muddy up the water and mess with our emotions and play with our feelings to get us to obey them and follow our own cloud that's within us. That struggle that's within us, our desire, that cloud that muddies things up and is always contrary to the clear, precise way and direction God's wanting and willing us to go. And the devil's destination for us is hell, because he knows that's where he's going and he can't do nothing about it. So therefore, he wants to take as many as he can with him. And sadly, most, and you say, this is so simple. I mean, who wouldn't choose heaven? Who don't know how to get to heaven? And you're right, in the South, where we live in Packlet, South Carolina, in Spartanburg, this area, we're right in the middle of the buckle, the Bible Belt. And hey, probably everybody you run across has heard the gospel and knows what it takes to get from here to heaven. We've seen the cloud. We've seen how clear and precise a picture of the gospel that it truly is. But how many are going? What causes people to reject following that big, pretty cloud that's so clear and precise? What keeps people from following that and going that direction? It's that cloud of inward emotion and inward feeling. And the Bible says that's why broad is the way. And many there be that walk therein. That's heading the wrong direction. When God's done everything He could. And think about that. When God done everything He could, that's a lot. Because the Bible says there's nothing too hard for Him. All things are possible with Him. And so, but God did everything He could to paint a cloud and to provide a cloud to make it so easy for us to get directed in the right way and land in the right destination. But so many refuse, reject, and choose to let their own inward cloud of emotion drive them and dictate how they live, where they live, and what they become. Think about it. It's this simple. Before you got saved, what guided you? Even the corporations in our country, even the corporations know there's something to this. You ever heard a statement like this? Just do it. If it feels good, do it. Follow your heart. Hear things like that? You know what those are? All of those are under the cloud of emotion. It's what's on the inside, not what God has clearly set up for us to follow. And the devil's he's a slippery, sly servant, and he knows how to manipulate and twist and get us from looking away from what God has put in front of us and beyond us to get us where we should be. And it ain't just about heaven and hell tonight. I'm going to deal way more in context with our families, our homes, our successes, our failures. But this morning, I'm simply just doing the macro of the destination that God, the direction that leads to the destination that God wants you to go. How many would agree when Jesus came to earth, died on a cross, lived sinless, perfect, then died on a cross and rose 3 days later and ascended, that's a pretty bright, clear cloud. Amen. Buddha couldn't do it. Muhammad didn't do it. No other little G-O-D, no other person that ever claimed to be God has ever painted and portrayed such a bright, vivid cloud that says, this is the way. And Jesus clearly said, with outstretched arms, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the direction. He is the cloud. He is the clear, clarified cloud. And God was giving these Israelites when they came out of Egypt. Now, He said, now that I've delivered you, it ain't just, hey, listen, and this will lead into tonight, and I'm going to be done this morning. If you're not saved this morning, you're headed one way, and you've lived your life this long out of the cloud of your own emotion and your own will and your own want to. And yes, you say, well, I've made it this far. Oh yeah, you have. But that's by the grace of God. Because every one of us in this room this morning and out of this room already deserves to be in hell with our back broke. And if you're still breathing and there's still a heart pumping in your chest, it's simply by the grace of God and the goodness of God. But if you're saved this morning, hey listen, don't keep following the devil. You lost people. If you lost in here this morning, and you think, well, I'm doing all right. I don't need that. I promise you, you don't know what living is. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. But that season will turn swiftly. And you're going to look around and wonder, where did the cloud go? Where did the cloud go? God used to appear to me. God used to speak to me. God used to they used to be so bright and flashing, and I used to could see where it was, and I always thought, I'll go this way now, but I can still see the cloud. I'll do my own thing now because the cloud's still there, and I don't have to fight. There's going to come a day, and you're going to turn around, and you're going to wonder, where did he go? Where's the cloud? How do I get there? And listen, please hear me. People say, well, I'll get saved when I get ready. I just ain't quite ready. I still got some wild oats to sow. I still got some partying to do. I still got some living to do. Hey, let me please hear me. You will not get saved when you want to. The problem with that theology, the problem with that mentality is simply this. You ain't never wanted to yet. What makes you think the older and the harder your heart gets and the farther you get from the cloud that God's let you graciously see, what makes you think that one day you're going to want to? I'll give you a Bible verse that's hard and it's pricking and it's rough. But you know what God said? Go ahead. And there'll come a day when you'll beg me and you'll weep to me. And I'll laugh at your calamity. What happened to Judas? He stood right beside the cloud. He stood right beside the cross. He stood right beside the Christ and let his heart get so hard he sold him out. And what happened after he got his few little pieces of silver? He said, oh, I've sinned against innocent blood. And he went out in the Bible says, wept bitterly. But he turned to look and it was too late. The Bible said it had been better for him to never been born. If the cloud of Christ, and you're hearing the gospel this morning, if that cloud is still in view, if you can still see it and hear it and feel it, you better turn to it. Amen. While there's time. Because this world's winding up. And that cloud, he's coming in a cloud. The Bible said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, we're going to meet him in the air. And that cloud's going to be gone and gone forever. And gone for good. And you'll be left behind never to see that or hear that ever again. You know what great men have said hell, when they ask, what is hell? Describe hell. You know what? Most say, I mean, not talking about the burning, the fire, the worm that dieth not, the everlasting falling, the screams, the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. All that is hell. Literal hell. I believe in a literal burning hell. And anybody that don't, you need to not listen to. But you let me tell you what hell truly is, that I believe would be worse than any of that. Everlasting, eternal separation from God. You'll never hear him speak or whisper to you again. There'll never be any more mercy granted to you again. The sunbeams that will shine down, that has shined down through you from those clouds, will only be a distant memory that you'll beg for all of eternity. Oh God, speak to me again. Oh God, show me that cloud again. I'll turn now. And it's too late. It's too late. So while the cloud is in front of you and beyond you, look to it and follow it for direction, and it'll lead you home. Tonight we'll get deeper and go. This morning I simply dealt with salvation, with heaven and with hell. And if you're saved, everybody in here this morning that's saved ought to say amen to what I'm about to say. Ain't you glad God put a pillar of a cloud in front of you and showed you clearly? It wasn't a physical cloud, but it was the preached word of God. It was the blowing of the Holy Spirit of God, the wind that come through there, that the sun that shined out on you and you clearly saw, that's the way I need to go. He is the way. He is the way. I ain't never met one person yet, not one that's saved, who regrets following that cloud. But I've met so many, I've lost count, who are still operating and working and wiggling their way through life following the cloud of their own emotion. And they're never satisfied. And they die that way, wishing to God that it went the other way. And so this morning, I just simply close by asking you this question. Who are you following? Are you living a life that's doing your dead level best to follow Him and go the direction He wants you to go? Or are you still, listen, this is it. So I don't know if I'm saved or not. This is how you know. Are you still following what you want? Are you still conniving and working around and always going the direction and doing the things you want? That says a whole lot about which cloud you're following. Because saved people, about 5:30 this evening, I ain't begging you to come to church, but I'm telling you this, there'll be a cloud over this way, and saved people will be drawn to it. I ain't saying you lost if you don't come to church tonight. I'm saying this, if you don't, you'll be following the cloud of your own emotion, not the cloud of clarity where Christ is. Because Jesus started this morning by saying Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for the church. He's coming back for the church. I promise you, He'll be at church tonight. Where are you going to be? I hope you'll come back and be with us. Amen. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for revealing yourself to us, Lord, as you did the children of Israel. God, you set them free, saved them. God, they didn't even know which way to go. And many in our services this morning, Lord, we're saved, but we still need direction, God, in daily life. God, as we'll deal with that tonight, how desperately we need direction from you, Lord. From the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, Lord, we need direction. And God, I pray if there's somebody here lost this morning, this will be the glad hour. God, that they turn from that cloud of uncertainty, that cloud of chaos and their own emotion, and they'll turn to the cloud of clarity, which is Christ. Oh God, you said in verse 22, Lord, that you never removed that cloud. Thank you, God, that you've never removed your leading hand from us, God. Daily, you guide and direct us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that does guide us and guard us. Pray you save sinners today. Don't let anybody die and go to hell. God, as time is running out, I pray you save sinners. Folks are praying. These altars are open. Would you come? If you're saved this morning, would you pray? I'm sure you know people, family, friends. They think they're all right. But you know deep down in your heart, they headed the wrong direction. They think they have time. Say, oh, it don't matter. It don't matter how I live. They're going to do what they want to do. I promise you, it matters when they see which direction you're headed. On a Sunday morning, they ought to see you headed toward Jesus. On a Sunday night, they ought to see you headed back to church, see you following after. On a Wednesday night, on a Monday morning, they ought to see you following Jesus. Would you come? Would you pray? Time's running out. Would you get serious with God? Say, Lord, I have not followed you the way I should. I've went my own way. I've strayed. I've drifted. But by the grace of God, Lord, if you'll help me, God, if you'll make that cloud clear to me again, Lord, I'll do my best to follow you all the days of my life. Make a fresh promise to God and then follow it. Nothing in this world will satisfy you like following Jesus. You tired of being confused, Feel like you're walking in circles, making no headway? Look to Christ. Follow Him. Pick up that Bible. Look into His Word. Let the Holy Spirit of God lead you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Bless now. God, I pray your word find a lodging place. We know your word won't return void. Touch now as we go our separate ways. God, I pray you'd help us have a day of rest. God, this evening I beg of you, Lord, you'd nudge your people. Make it clear, God, that we'd all be back in your house, Lord, this evening. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you.